We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be speaking with the Jewish Hour's own Chana Finman. We'll be talking about how important it is to be involved with gardening. It's one of those things that's really been encouraged since people are at home, and it's a great way to help. We'll just be everything you wanted to know. In the second half of the show, we will be featuring a little bit about the portion of the week, which will be read in the synagogue this week, which is Chukas Balak, a double portion. It's Numbers 20 and following. There's so much in this week's portion. We've got a wonderful assortment of music. They'll make their appearances throughout the show. A great Hasidic story. This is a humdinger story, let me tell you. That's all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Palestinian Authority put Hebron and Nablus on lockdown after more than 100 people tested positive for the coronavirus in 24 hours. The city of Eilad and parts of Tiberias are also on lockdown as Israel saw its daily corona infectious rates continue to rise. Terrorist attacks in Israel this week. A female border guard was slightly injured in a ramming attack outside Jerusalem. The attacker was arrested. A terrorist was killed as he tried to run over an Israeli police officer in Jerusalem. Despite the uptick in corona cases, Israeli commuter trains began running again at half full and masks required. It was announced that a new line between Tel Aviv and Eilat, a high-speed line, will be finished by 2030, connecting the southern part of the country with a high-speed train. Kosovo declared Hezbollah a terrorist organization. And the Irish Parliament defeated a bill that would back BDS if Israel lets boycott, divest, and sanctions of Israel. And finally, Nefesh B'Nefesh, the organization that helps North Americans immigrate to Israel, make Aliyah, said it received the highest numbers of applications since its founding two decades ago for a one-month period, and that was for June, with over 900 applications, and June isn't even over yet. Israel is expecting 90,000 immigrants this year compared to 35,000 last year, with the greatest concentration coming from France. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Chana Finman, Jewish Ferndale, Jewish Hour's own. And we're going to be talking about gardening today. How are you, Chana?
I'm fine, thank God. I am enjoying the balmy, beautiful summer days here in Michigan.
And how are you doing with this COVID thing?
Well, you know, we're all struggling, and And that's why I wanted to talk about gardening, because it's a relief. Gardening offers a relief to the problems and the anxiety that we are dealing with right now.
Oh, tell us how.
Well, there's so much I can talk about in terms of the actual garden. So I want to just preface it with that we're going to have a nice gathering on your Facebook page, Herschel Finman Facebook page, and we'll be announcing that, where I'll be doing show and tell of the things I'll be talking about today, which are things that we're actually growing at Jewish Ferndale, harvesting at Jewish Ferndale, and I'll just give some tips on how to dry out herbs. We have so many beautiful herbs, and they're all exploding all over the place, and it's time to have fun with those. So I'll be demonstrating that. And I'll talk a little bit about that today, if there's time, of what that entails. But I first wanted to mention also the Torah has so much, pasukim.
Verses.
Yeah, that are directed towards the image of a garden. And I wanted to read one.
Go ahead, please.
This is a pasuk. It's a verse that it's a Mishnah. And it's from Tractate Sanhedrin, if someone would like to look that up. And it's recited, usually, customarily, on Shabbos afternoon as a preface statement before we study Ethics of the Fathers, which is beautiful. It's my favorite part of the Torah, actually. It's a compendium of wise sayings. And I enjoy reading them throughout the summer, as is customary. So on a nice Shabbos long afternoon, and they're very long here in Michigan. Shabbos isn't over till so late. But you have plenty of time. So this is the preface to the learning of the Ethics of the Fathers, which is teachings on how one should live. But we start with saying, I'm going to say it in English, all of Israel have a share in the world to come, as it says, and it's quoting from Isaiah. This is where this quote actually comes. Your people are all righteous. They will inherit the land forever. They are the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, in which I take pride. And I think it's so beautiful. And it's very familiar to most people who are studying in the summertime. It's also familiar to many children, because Lubavitcher Rebbe, when I was growing up, really insisted that children learn these passages, 12 of them, actually. This is one of the 12 Torah passages to learn by heart. And in every Chabad school, camp, get-together, rally, fun fair, activity, some kid would come up to the front, girl or boy, and scream their head these passages into a microphone, and all the kids would reiterate after them. So by the time they were like six, they would know them all completely in their minds and own those pasukim. And I encourage people, if you go to Chabad.org, you can find these 12 very famous Torah passages. But this is one of them that the Rebbe encouraged us to learn by heart as children and then to internalize it. So what are we internalizing? What is the garden teaching us? So I did some background reading. And one of the things is the idea that I really like so much. There's many allegories about this, but just as a planting must be tended in order to grow properly, the individual, despite his inherent share in the world to come that he gets automatically because he inherited that, but he must put forth his own effort in order to actualize his full potential. Although every person has a share in the world to come, the quality of that share is dependent upon one's actions.
Okay.
So
you'd like to equate that then with people working in their garden kind of thing?
It's the idea of growth. It's the idea of being involved. And there's so many other beautiful concepts about the garden. The garden is also explained deeply in Hasidic philosophy that we learn from the passage of King Solomon. And it goes like something like this, that we welcome the bride, my sister, my bride, in the garden. And it goes into very deep levels in the Basi Lagani Mimer that the Rebbe said many years ago and elaborated on. That's another thing people can look up if you want to know esoteric ideas about the garden. It's called Basi, B-A-S-I, Lagani. And it describes the whole purpose of the descent of the soul and the purpose of creating the world. Okay, so all of that.
This is just an introduction. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Hannah Finman, and we're talking about gardening and how it makes you feel good. Go ahead, Hannah. So continue.
So with all that powerful material, when you get into the nitty-gritty, when you have your spade and you have your hose and you have your seeds and you have your soil, and you start messing around, right? You can get a sense of joy watching this growth. And you can be thinking all these big ideas, too. I think that makes it a lot more fun. Now, here in Detroit, we had some help this year through two organizations.
Yeah, I was going to say that my best part is that when you're eating things that are edible, that as they're growing, you can actually eat them.
Right. So that was part of the Garden Initiative that was here in Detroit through an organization called Hazon and Yad Ezra. And I also encourage people to Google these organizations because they are still assisting. Even for children, they have a camp box so you can get them started and playing in the garden. It starts when you're a little kid. And there's nothing more joyful than sharing that experience with a child. So we did that in Ferndale over the last 4 summers. And it was so encouraging to have all kinds of people come to our garden and go through this experience. I have to tell you, there's a joy in it. And all kinds of people from all backgrounds, people from the neighborhood, kids from Detroit who had never really messed around in gardens before, had a wonderful experience with us last year. We had a naturopath come several times and tour everyone around the garden and eat things which look weird. And I think that was a blast because you see a weed that you don't normally think is very important, but now it's a dandelion, now it's a burdock, now it has a healing power. So that was Dr. Jen Green.
Yeah, I got really excited with purslane, which we planted, which we've actually had people come and tell us, oh, that's purslane, you have to rip that out. And I just love purslane. It's one of my favorites.
Purslane is something people should Google. It's spelled like a purse, P-U-R-S-E-L-A-N-E, I think. Okay. Now, purslane is sold now in farmers markets, but in places like in Asia and in Turkey especially, I saw it, they grow it and use it commonly in salads. But we can also use it in stir fry. We can use it in smoothies. It's a squishy, lemony, green weed. And everybody has some growing out of the cracks in their sidewalk and in your garden. So you just have to make sure there's no pesticides or yucky animals or anything that would make it bad.
Edible, yeah.
But when you see it growing in your own garden and you let it go, it grows into something that almost looks like a jade plant. It's very lush and like a succulent. So if you harvest, say, even a cup of it, right, and you wash it well, and it has lots of weird little seeds, tinier than a chia seed in there, that's natural. Don't worry about it. But you can rinse it out. And then if you're making a smoothie and the stems are still tender, chuck it in. And it'll make it thick. And you'll get more antioxidants from this little dum-dum plant everybody steps on than from expensive salmon. So we think it's a cool thing to share that knowledge. And at the Oak Park, right here across the street from where we are, they do have a farmer's market. They're trying to rev it up again, even during COVID. And they did sell it there in the past, but their purse lane was like 2 feet long. Each leaf was the size of almost a quarter. So I was very impressed with what they were doing. But then you had to take each leaf off and discard the stems. They were just too woody. Yeah, but that's a cool thing. So I just wanted to mention about Hazon's Garden Initiative and Yad Ezrik and what they're trying to do. And now we can go on to my next little...
Well, let me interject. Our guest today is Hannah Finman from Jewish Ferndale and the Jewish Hour as well, a co-producer. And we're talking about why you, during this time when you were stuck at home still, just starting to get out, well, get out into your own garden.
Yeah, and some of us have more space than others. You know,
that would imply that some of us has less space than others.
Correct. So I want to just tell a little story about someone very close to my heart. Is my daughter who lives, one of my daughters who lives in Brooklyn, has a very small balcony. It's just probably big enough for a yoga mat. She has...
Yeah, I would say it was about 6 square feet, her entire balcony. Yeah, that would be about right.
But it's been a lifesaver. So a small amount of space can have planters. You can improvise planters. And she had a batch of seeds and has been cultivating plants out there. And the joy that it brings her, and then she posts it all over Instagram. So then you get some feedback from people, and there's nothing so nice as someone being impressed by your work. And that's like the pasuk that I started out with. You know, it's a very spiritual thing for a human being to get recognized for the work that they've done. We feel like we grow a little bit inside our self-esteem. We feel like the light is shining on our faces and we're growing with the light because someone has seen the good work we've done. So the garden is an actualization of that process.
Let's talk a little bit about how much we're helping the world with these little tiny gardens. Like, for example, planting pollinator-type plants and putting in bird baths and things like that, Hannah Finman.
Well, that's a topic I love because we worked with the Audubon Society here in Michigan to get some really good advice. When we first started out in Jewish Ferndale, we were helped, really, with this pollinator concept. We planted many milkweed plants, which is a huge effort here. In Ferndale, where our Jewish center is, they actually are game changers in planting this plant. This is a pretty little weed that you see growing all over Michigan. It gets really tall, and it has this great seed bulb on it. And inside that, it's like a bomb of like 100 seeds or whatever in this fluffy stuff that kids like to play with that ripens around, you know, September, October. And what you're supposed to do is just take those seeds and put them anywhere you can. Just throw them out a window or plant them anywhere. We need to spread these plants because it is the only plant that the monarch butterfly, as it's on its huge, amazing mission around the world, will come down and do its entire process on this plant. Everything from Christophilus, you start out with the baby caterpillar. You see the egg being laid. Then you see the egg being laid. And they look like the size of a sesame seed, and they're white. And we show this to people, and they're amazed, right on this beautiful big old leaf of what looks like a weed. And then we watch
milkweed.
Yeah, and then we watch the process. We see the caterpillar, we see the Christophilus, and then we see the emergence of butterflies. And we have so many of these plants now growing on the property as we have joined up with people all over the region to do this to help this migration process, and it works. So when children and families were coming and we could explain all this to them, we would give them the pods to take home or a little plant and encourage them to do the same. So it's one of those happy, wonderful activities. And, of course, the children love it. But right now, those plants, they're doing something interesting. They have this pink flower that comes that smells very sweet. Anybody who's climbed dunes in Michigan or gone on nature walks up north or in the beautiful southeastern Michigan parks knows this smell. Now, what they might not know is that those are actually little buds before they bloom into the pink flowers are capers, and they're edible. So yesterday at our beautiful outdoor women's only yoga class, I was sharing that with some of the ladies there when we were eating them and enjoying them. They can be pickled, just like the kind of capers you buy at the store. So if you go into making a pollinator garden for the butterflies, you get some benefits. You get capers.
There you go. I'm sure there's a pun there or something about that, Batman.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, it's kind of like superheroes. I would say that. And the butterflies are so miraculous. It's like helping them along their way, and you see them in groups flying in this region, and it makes you feel good because, as we know, so much of our natural world has been decimated over the last decades, so we got to do everything we can to help.
Okay, so moving right along, Hannah Finman from the Jewish Hour in Jewish Ferndale. So person puts together a garden. They got this nice garden. They're planting herbs. They're planting all kinds of things. And they're beginning their bumper harvest. And it's like, oh, my, all this stuff suddenly is now becoming ripe and needs picking. And what are we going to do with all this stuff, Hannah Finman?
Well, things come in stages. So right now what I'm busy with is lettuce that we planted when it was still cold. That was part of the Hazon Garden Initiative in Yad Ezra, with the seeds and the soil that they delivered to many properties, hundreds of properties in this area. It was great. So it was still cold. So when it was cold, we put in peas and we put in lettuce. They don't mind the cold. So you get a head start. So now, when we want salad, we don't have to rush out to the store. We merely take a scissors in the yard and cut, and you have a huge bowl of the most beautiful greens, no bugs.
It's really good that they did this because now there's peas on earth.
Well, the thing is that when you grow your own, you don't have to go into a COVID store. And, you know, the numbers are going up. They go down. They go up. They go down. But for some of there are a lot of people who really can't go into stores.
When was the last time you were in a store, Hannah Finman?
I was shopping for Purim.
That was middle of March. It was the last time you were in a store.
We have people with all kinds of compromises, immune problems, people who are more vulnerable. So to stay out is great, and you have a feeling of independence. So the luxury of going to the backyard, I'm fortunate I have a nice, not huge, but a decent backyard so I can make small plots. I use a lot of containers. You can improvise. You can use a cardboard box. You don't need to spend real money, okay? But the fun part is doing these stages. So right now we're picking the peas. They're scrumptious, little snap peas, and the lettuce. And the herbs are coming in. So what I've been doing, what I'll demonstrate when we have our little Herschel Finman Facebook page garden party. I'll be demonstrating with chive flowers, which are very fun to cook with, by the way, thyme flowers, cilantro. We might have coriander by then, I'm not sure, because cilantro, as you know, looks a lot like parsley when it's growing, right?
And then it goes to seed.
Yeah, and then you get the little balls that you harvest, which are now, what's it called?
Coriander seeds.
Coriander seeds. So with the coriander seeds, I've had kids coming for years. I've been growing this maybe for 20 years. And when the kids pick them, when at the end of the summer, you can take out a mortar and pestle, you know, little hand grinder. And if you don't have one, you can put them in a little plastic bag and give them a little hammer and let them smash them on a picnic table in the backyard or whatever. Kids love to do this. and you smash up the coriander from your little cilantro plants and just smell it. It's so potent. And you can throw it in, you know, whatever you're cooking, and kid will eat it because they did it. It gets them to experience smell, taste, all the sensory things going on with something that they did. And that makes it more precious. When kids see stuff in bottles in stores, it doesn't really arouse much curiosity. But when they're picking it and smashing and smelling it, they want to know what it's going to taste like. So the ooh factor, you're lessening the ooh factor. Okay, anyway, we also are harvesting basil now, oregano, and parsley. And if there's anything else I forgot,
that's about, you know. We do have the calendula.
The calendula's that's just a miracle. We have boxed raised beds at Jewish Perennial that were fabricated from garage doors that we made into an art studio. We took off the garage doors and we made a beautiful studio with glass. So these long doors, because it was a huge garage, were fabricated into these amazing, huge, long boxes. So we could grow beets in there, like really good stuff. But we also got advice to try the calendula. And I know calendula because I had babies, and that was what I used to use for diaper cream. I'd buy it at Whole Foods, calendula ointment. It was a great skin healer. So I understood there was something medicinal about this plant. But I didn't understand until I went through the process, and I'll explain what that is. And I'll do it on my show and tell when we get that on your Facebook page, but you'll see it. But what we did was we grew hundreds of flowers in the box. They're orange, yellow, bright flowers.
Somewhat meadow-like.
Yeah. And it's on the, if you buy a product that has calendula, they usually have this little daisy-looking flower on the front of the package. Then I made the association when I was growing the actual plant. Oh, yeah, that's what it looks like. So they're growing right now at Jewish Perennial. But last year we had hundreds and hundreds of the blooms, and we had students who helped us pick them. We harvest hundreds every morning. We had all these baskets laid out, and they would sit there on a hot day inside when the air conditioner was on and just pluck off all those petals. So it was very relaxing. And then we had hundreds and hundreds of petals, right? So with the advice of Dr. Jen Green, we dried out all the petals. You discard the other stuff. And after
throw it into the compost. Yes, that's another thing.
Yeah, and then after a few weeks, we had jars and jars of what looked like grated orange cheese. But they're petals. Okay, in mason jars. So after we had a nice, huge batch from doing this process for many weeks, the last day, all the students gathered around, and we had excellent quality olive oil. And we mixed the like a handful in a mason jar with the olive oil, put a lid on it, and we put it in our sunroom and let the sun do its magic for several weeks, just the light shining through on the jars. The color of the oil changes to a beautiful hue now, like a orange yellow. And then we put them in the refrigerator. Over the course of the year, we put them in pretty little bottles with decorative labels, and we sold them as a kind of a fundraiser, and we gave them as gifts to people and made it into a pretty package. So we still have, from last year, quite a lot of this beautiful fluid. And what we use it for is for any skin problems. It's like going to the best beauty counter. You pour a little of this serum on your hand and put it on your face, on your neck after a shower. You rub in your feet, a massage. If you have a little itchy, it's not an antibiotic, but it's a skin soother.
Okay, wonderful. This is all very exciting and inspirational, and do you think, let's give some sources of resources if people want to Google again where they might be able to look to help them out at this point, and still it's not too late. Say those websites again, Fonda Finman.
Yeah, sure. Yad Ezra, Y-A-D-E-Z, like zebra, R-A, Ezra. Yad Ezra is a local food bank, but they're also an education station. So it's the first place to go if you need help. They even lend tools. Okay, they'll assist you, and they will guide you to people who can help you. They have amazing information and an amazing staff. The other organization, which I love to promote so much, is Hazon. It means a vision, H-A-Z like zebra again, O-N, Hazon. So Hazon is...
And their website is HazonDetroit.org.
Yeah, and again, they will assist you. They want people to feel what I've explained today, and they have made tremendous efforts in all aspects of this effort, politically and as well as individually with, you know, people, helping them get this going. So anyway, it's something that makes me happy thinking about the garden, and I hope that everybody, even if it's just on the windowsill, and you take one last thing, one of the things that we're trying to get people to feel is this independence, right? So you don't have to go in stores and just be more reliant. So one of the things is every time you know, a lot of people have been doing this for years, for centuries. You have you finish your celery, you finish your carrots, finish your scallions, whatever it is, save that little root end, stick it in a water, windowsill, light, water. You can see roots develop and then just jam the thing in some good soil and you're going to have a whole new celery plant. You're going to have a whole new carrot. You're going to have a whole new batch of scallions. And it's no effort.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. Okay, our guest today has been Hannah Finman from Jewish Ferndale and the Jewish Hour. We're talking about gardening, and I've been inspired, and we're going to get out there and do that gardening. And we're going to wish you all the best there, Hannah Finman.
Okay, and look out for the post on Herschel Finman Facebook page if you want to see some of the things I talked about. I think we'll probably do it in a week or two.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the plants.
Depends on the plants.
They got to dry a little more.
Right.
Okay, take care.
Okay,
then.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Yes, there was a little bit of an uptick in Oakland County, which is, if you're listening and you're not in the Michigan area, that's the area that we live in. A little bit of an uptick one day this week. Things went up, but things went back down again, which is a good thing. But if you're in Oakland County or environs and experiencing corona-like symptoms, Dr. Bruce Rubin at Compass Healthcare will definitely be there. 248-624-9800. Up now. What are we going to do? We're going to listen to some music. Why? Because we can. This is brand spanking new. This is Yoni Shlomo is the name of the artist. He's from Israel. And it's taken from the daily literature Usamaher, which means that the enemies should be speedily smashed, destroyed, and subjugated. A good topic. Let's listen.
Melech HaMashiach, Melech HaMashiach Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, we have a variation of a single theme with the next two songs. This one we're going to listen to first is the Frank London, very famous person, Frank London Klezmer Brass Band. The song is called A Gichernigen, which means a fast song. Let's listen to it quickly.
Thank you.
next, for your listening pleasure, we said it's a variation. This is Moshe Kesselman from Israel, and this is called A Chill Niggin. Let's just relax.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Fenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is going to be read in the synagogue on Shabbos, for those synagogues that are doing that, is the double portion of Chukas Balak. It is and to be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 20 and following. And the reason why it is a double portion, and in a couple of weeks we're going to have the double portion of Matos Masai, is because of the mandate by Ezra the scribe some 2,500 years ago that the book of Deuteronomy must begin Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about Tisha B'Av already. Tisha B'Av, I'm thinking about Tishrei. Oh, yeah, there goes the summer. But not to get excited, let's just focus on Chukas Balak. There are a number of stories in this Parsha. And the rule generally is, since the Torah is not a history book, and stories are not placed where they're placed because that's where the chronology happened, because we see in last week's portion with the gatherer of wood, that happened before Exodus 19, and that was put in the middle of the book of Numbers. So things are placed where they need to be placed. So what are the major things that are in this week's portion? Well, you have the story of the red cow, which was used for purifying people who came in contact with a dead body. You have the death of Miriam. You have the death of Aaron. And at the end of the portion, you have the prophet Bilaam, who was a non-Jewish evil dude prophet-type person, prophesizing of the imminent arrival of the Messiah. If they're all in the same portion, there all has to be a connection among all of them. I could stretch this out probably for an hour and a half, but I've got 6 minutes. Let's see what we can do over here. So, the idea of the red cow. This is called Zeis Chukas HaTorah. This is the statute of the Torah. There are those commandments which the Almighty said, trust me, I'm not going to explain it to you. You just do them because I said so. The 600 or so commandments, God says, I gave you a reason. You know why you need to do those. This bunch, trust me, there is a reason. I'm not going to tell you. So this whole purification thing, Moses just like threw his hands up in the air. So what? Doesn't make any sense. So I'm not going to go into the details. You can do that yourself by opening up your favorite Chumash Bible to Numbers chapter 20 right at the beginning of the portion of Chukas. And read how it goes. But what the deal is it starts with the Zeis Torah of Adam. This is the law. This is the Torah of man. Meaning to say, bottom line, why is it that we do any commandment? It's because God said so. Even the commandment of not stealing, we do not because you ask you why shouldn't you steal. You can give me 20 reasons why you shouldn't steal. The reason why we don't steal is because God said so. That ties in with the death of Miriam and the death of Aaron. It says, when a righteous person passes away, it brings atonement to the world. And we see what happened when Miriam and Aaron passed away. When Miriam passed away, the water dried up. And when Aaron passed away, the cloud of glory dissipated. And in both of those instances, it was in the merit of Moses that it was brought back. So in other words, it was because of Miriam's merit that Miriam stood by the water and waited for her brother as he was in a little basket in the river when he was an infant, that the Jewish people had water. And it was in the merit of Aaron, who was Mr. I Love You. He had a personal relationship with every single person in the camp of Israel. And in his merit, they had this protective cloud, which is what happens if you have everybody getting along. So it says, if everybody gets along, no one can touch you. They dissipate, and it comes back in the merit of Moses. What was Moses? What do we talk about? Moses, his last name is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, our teacher. His thing was the Torah. Again, Zos Torah Sa'adab. This is the Torah of man. And it was through Moshe that Moshe filled in the gap, because when one dedicates oneself to the ideals of Judaism, because God said so, we're not saying that you shouldn't and study and learn and do that, because it says that when the Jewish people were asked, do you want the Torah, they said, we'll take it, we'll do everything that's in it, and we'll learn about it. And God was so excited when the Jewish people said, we'll learn about it. So it's a wonderful thing. But don't forget the bottom line. We're doing it because of Shem. So what's the ultimate then at the end? And it's a very interesting thing. The prophecies of the final days, the end of days, are made not by Moses. They're made by the anti-Moses, the counter-Moses, the evil opposite of Moses. Why so? And how is that? Why is it in this week's portion? What's the connection here? What happens when Mashiach comes is the, it says in the book of Isaiah, Va'ava ruach atuma min ha'aretz, the spirit of impurity, it will pass out from the world, will be wiped away from the world. And we will be sitting ish tachas gafna, ish tachas te'enai, each man under his fig tree, each man under his grapevine. And what will we be doing? We'll be sitting and learning Torah. Again, Zos Torahs Adam. This will be our reward. And we'll be seeing, when we sit and we learn about, say, the red cow. So we'll see, what does the red cow mean to God? And as with all the other things, and hopefully we'll merit this very soon, hopefully before the end of this week, so we can talk about it next week. Speaking of next week, let's take a quick commercial break, and we got the Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. And you can get in touch with me right on the homepage. There's a link. It's an easy to do, no fuss, no muss, no bothers. If you've got a comment, a question, a query, a quiz, anything of that nature, just send it off to me. I'll respond back. There's also archived editions of the radio show. There's archived editions of classes that we presented. There's archived editions of other media in which we present Judaism in a hopefully entertaining and educational way. And there's also the very important donation page. We're starting to fall behind. We managed to make it through March, April, May, June. June has been tough. We're in the last week of June, and we've fallen behind. We're not even close to paying the WLQV Salem Communications people. So we need your help. The sponsors are coming through, and God willing, next month we'll have a couple of new sponsors. We're working on them. But in the meantime, the Jewish Hour has been supported for 25 years. Every single month I've gone through this with listeners like you going to rabbifinman.com. In fact, the show even predates, not by much. I think the show started in 94, and then we started with the radio, with the website in 96. So maybe it was me, 98. So people have been donating through rabbifinman.com for better part of 20 years, so it's a good thing. I haven't heard anybody complain about it. I certainly haven't been complaining about it. So go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, make your donation. You can make a small donation, which is going to be repeated monthly if you have a PayPal account, and it just repeats itself. You don't have to think about it, and you get the mitzvah. Yes, and a mitzvah means a connection to God, and that's what's going to happen when you make that connection to God. Do it today. Don't like doing internet giving? I understand. Put your donation in, of any denomination, into an envelope. Put a stamp in the upper right-hand corner and address it. The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Somewhere in the early 80s, a couple that lived on a moshav, that's like a little village, that had basically were focused on a single industry. And they had all kinds of moshavs back then. And they might probably still have them now, too. But there was a person on a moshav. And this woman she had a bunch of kids. And with every kid, the labor and delivery became ensuingly more and more difficult. And she's up to kid number whatever. and she was really having problems. So they wrote to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe told them a very strange thing. He said, when your wife goes into labor, go to the next moshav, go to the next village. He's looking in central Israel someplace. And there you'll see a stream. And you go across the bridge, across the stream, you'll come to a factory. At 4:30 in the afternoon, the factory lets out. The 10th person who walks out of that factory, follow them home. That was the answer. So the woman went into labor. It's like really serious stuff going on with this labor. And so the guy listened to what the Rebbe said, and he went, and he, the factory, 4:30, 10th guy, follows them home, knocks on the door. Woman says, can I help you? She says, I want to see the man who just came home from the factory. She goes in, the guy comes out, says, what can I do for you? He says, I haven't got a clue, but we wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe some while ago, and he said that when my wife goes into labor, that I should follow, come to this stream and then follow to the factory. 10th guy comes out, I should follow you home. I'm following you home. I have no idea what, even why. And the man exclaimed, the Lubavitcher Rebbe found me here? And he said, just a minute. He went in the house. He came back out with 3 sugar cubes. And he handed the man 3 sugar cubes. And he said, these are for your future pregnancies because you're going to have 3 more kids. You don't have to worry about it today because your wife just gave birth. He said, how do you know? He said, just listen. The Rebbe said, don't ask questions. So he went home. His wife had given birth. And he said, this is a miracle. This must be one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. And word got out about the sugar cubes. And people went to the guy's house. He was gone. Packed up. All the furniture. Gone. That's going to do it, Tony. If we could have the music behind us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We're ending with Mihoyel's Lachover's Niggin, which it says about it, the Baal Shem Tov said, anybody who sings this song and cries, I will come to you. Let's listen to it. It'll be strange. Have a great week. We'll see you again back again next week.